It's Cape Town in wintertime. What better time to pile up a huge stack of books and lay low and read and read and read. Hello and welcome to Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio. I'm your host, Paige Nick, and every couple of weeks on this show, we welcome South Africa's three top publishers, as well as South Africa's number one bookseller, that's Exclusive Books. We welcome them into the studio to fill us in on what they're publishing, what they're reading, and what they're selling right now. I love this show the most because we get an inside view of the publishing industry from the very people who are on the ground, right there in the publishing houses, deciding which local and international titles we're going to get offered on our shelves every month. So the voices you're going to hear from for the next hour on today's show, they're all publishers, publicists, and editors, and they're constantly working with the authors and other international publishing houses. And they work really hard to bring quality fiction and non-fiction to South African readers. These guys really know what's going on in publishing. They know what sells, they know what hooks, they know what's trending right now. They know what's going to entice us to pick one book over a Netflix and chill evening or endless scrolling. These are the heroes of South African publishing, and we couldn't be prouder to have them join us on the show to share their knowledge and experience and titles with us. So for a little taster of what we've got coming up, we start today's show with Batya Bricker. Batya is the general manager of books and brands at Exclusive Books, everybody's favorite bookseller in South Africa. After that on the show, we're joined by Viz Chetty, who you'll remember now, he's on every month. He joins us from Penguin Random House, and he'll bring us their latest lineup of books and reads. That will be followed by Shakti Pillay and her wonderful team from Pan Macmillan, telling us all about their favorite new titles, both local and international, fiction and nonfiction. And to round off this beautiful show we've got for you today, we welcome the Jonathan Ball team. The Jonathan Ball team always bring a very varied segment. They've got lots of different voices from their offices in South Africa. They often also tune into offices from around the world, the publishers they work with around the world, to tell us what they've got going on. And all of these four segments are going to be punctuated with some very cool fine music this month, as always, sourced by the very wonderful Mzu Makhetha. Starting with this first track, which is Njilo Njilo, it's The Bird Song. It's by Track 5. And this is a tune that was made popular by the miraculous, marvelous, magical Miriam Makeba.
Why embed jolly city. He lives well if he read Jalo, Jalo, Imanelam Cholo.
Welcome back. That was The Bird Song by Track 5, and you're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice, right here on Fine Music Radio. Your dial is in the right place, or you're streaming in the right place. First up, as I mentioned on today's show, we welcome Batya Brickett to the show. Batya is the General Manager of Books and Brands at Exclusive Books. She's got an enormous job. I don't quite know how she gets it all done. And on top of all of it, everything that she has to do for her job day to day, she also reads voraciously. So for me, there's always something very special in Batya's reviews. She reads very widely. And of course, she's got so many shelves to choose from. Just imagine, it's a dream job, right? You can read anything you want. So I really respect her views on the titles that stand out to her that she chooses to tell us about on our show every month. Welcome to the show, Batya. Tell us all about what your favorite titles have been that you think are going to be flying off the shelves at Exclusive Books for this coming month of August.
Hello, I'm Batya Bricker, the GM of Books and Brands for Exclusive Books. And this month, being Women's Month, I wanted to talk about some of the book creators, women, mind you, who have graced our shelves and changed how and what we read. Can you believe that we are still talking about Harry Potter, the boy-cum-wizard brainchild of J.K. Rowling, the penniless, homeless, single mother turned writing sensation? The first Harry Potter was published in 1997, but really it was the third that shot J.K. Rowling to international fame. According to Forbes magazine, Rowling was the first person to become a US dollar billionaire, primarily through book writing. And when you see the sheer magic of what she has created with words, it seems justified. I've recently returned from London's Warner Brothers studio, where they spent 10 years filming the Harry Potter movies, turning the best-selling books into stories for the big screen. And I left as awestruck as ever by J.K. Rowling's creation. Harry Potter has become a whole industry of films, merchandise, activity books, and clothes. In many Exclusive Book stores, we now have not only shelves dedicated to Harry Potter books, but entire bays that show off all the various iterations of the books themselves, and the spin-off versions like pop-ups and fully illustrated editions. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. If you haven't yet delved into the world of Hogwarts, do. I recommend you read the first, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, the first Harry Potter, at least to get a feel for what all the hype is about. But any dip into his world will enrich yours. I always go on about how books and reading can change your life, and I really do believe it. But this is a book which truly had a direct impact on my relationships and has helped me deal with a toxic person in my life, but also heal and repair the emotional damage done. There's a lot out there on narcissistic behavior, but Dr. Romani Duvasala is the absolute maven on this topic. She is a professor, best-selling author, and clinical psychologist, and her book, It's Not You, is a transformative guide aimed at helping individuals recognize and heal from the effects of narcissistic relationships. Dr. Romani, as she is colloquially called, provides insights into how narcissists manipulate and invalidate others and offers strategies for recovery and self-protection. This book emphasizes that you are not to blame for the narcissist's behavior and highlights the importance of setting boundaries, becoming resistant to gaslighting, and reclaiming your sense of self. It draws on 2 decades of research and experience, and this book and Dr. Romani is a brilliant and leading addition to written work on this subject. For an unputdownable true tale, There's a local writer, Kim Ballantyne, who has written her life story called Hot Tea and Apricots. This is a book that everyone is talking about, and you might have heard about it over dinner tables and coffee dates. How would you cope suddenly not being able to talk in a world that only knows how to communicate through speech? Diagnosed with spasmodic dysphonia, severe laryngeal spasms, and told that she would never speak again, Kim finds her voice in writing, and she has penned this poignant account of the power of family, friendship, and faith in the face of unbelievable odds. At the end of this very vulnerable and at times funny memoir of loss and hope, you will feel like Kim is your best friend. Nikki Bush wrote, "Kim recounts her experiences masterfully, the severity of her situation balanced with incredible wit and humor. It is a jaw-dropping, love-filled read that will challenge, inspire, and uplift you." And speaking of tea, there is some immersive fiction on the Exclusive Books Recommends list this month that transports you to another world, and The Tea Merchant is one of them. The Tea Merchant is part of a twofold story written by the acclaimed Jackie Famotse. It's set in the Western Cape in 2005, and it involves the lead character Cameron, who battles yet remains determined to save his family's rooibos farm. It is 2005, a time of silent anticipation and hidden possibilities in the rugged Cederberg Mountains. Cameron Cole is embroiled in a desperate fight to save his family's rooibos farm, which is a hairbreadth away from bankruptcy, while wrestling overwhelming grief over his wife's death and trying to build a relationship with his blind daughter. His father, John, might be the family's last hope to save their farm from an enemy lurking in plain sight. But in the shadows, Cameron's brother, Sol, harbors a secret that could shatter the world. In the meantime, several questions must be answered. Who wanted Cameron's wife dead? How far will Cameron go to keep his enemies at bay? Will Luna, his new love, ever tell him the truth about her past? And who really owns South Africa's indigenous plant, the illustrious rooibos? For fans of Piranesi and The Midnight Library, The Cautious Traveller's Guide to the Wastelands by Sarah Brooks is a stunning historical fantasy novel set on an express train, the Trans-Siberian Railway, no less, and it's about a group of passengers on a dangerous journey through a magical landscape. It is said that there is a price for every passenger to pay, a price beyond the cost of a ticket. There is only one way to travel across the wastelands on the Trans-Siberian Express, a train famous for its luxury, but also its danger. The train is never short of passengers, eager to catch sight of wasteland creatures more miraculous and terrifying than anything they could imagine. But on the train's last journey, something went horribly wrong, though no one can remember exactly what. Not even Zhang Weiwei, who has spent her life on board and thought she knew the train's secrets. But now the train is about to embark again with a new set of passengers. And as forbidden friendships develop, there are warning signs that the rules of the wasteland are changing, and the train might once again be imperiled. Can the passengers trust one another as the wildness outside threatens to consume them all? This is a steampunkish novel that combines fantasy, thriller, gothic horror, and historical fiction. It's typical of the mashup of genres that we are seeing on the shelves. And The Cautious Traveller's Guide to the Wasteland offers a captivating blend of genres, reminiscent of Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. But to me, it felt a lot like Amor Towles' Gentleman in Moscow. So if that appealed to you, this is certainly worth a try. And if you thought Cautious Traveller's Guide to the Wasteland was an unforgettable title, try this one. Only Big Bum Bum Matters Tomorrow by Dumilare Kuku. This mixes humor and poignance in a powerful polyphonic novel about family secrets, judgmental aunties, and Brazilian butt lifts from the internationally best-selling author of Nearly All the Men in Lagos Are Mad. Freshly out of university, 20-year-old Temi has a clear plan for how she is going to surgically enlarge her backside, like all the other Nigerian women, move to Lagos and meet a man who will love her senseless. But when she finds the courage to tell her mother, older sister, and aunties, her announcement causes an uproar. Nigerian families can really be an obstacle in a girl's journey to physical perfection. But as the other women try to cure Temi of what seems like temporary insanity, they begin to spill long-spilled secrets, including the truth of Temi's older sister's mysterious disappearance 5 years ago. And it seems like Temi might actually be the sanest of them all. So whatever you are drawn to, the magic of Harry Potter or the Trans-Siberian Railway across the wastelands, the intimacy of hot tea and apricots or self-work of Dr. Romani, the immersiveness of the tea merchant or the hot debate on the merits of a big backside, you will find it on the shelves this August at Exclusive Books.
Massive bookie thanks to Batya Bricker, who, as I mentioned, is the general manager of books and brands at Exclusive Books. And you know, if the book you seek does truly exist, all you need to do is ask at your local Exclusive Books, or you can look online at exclusivebooks.com. We're going to play another track now, and this one coming up is called So Many Things. I guess it's like so many books. So this is So Many Things, and it's by Buchanan. That was So Many Things by Buchanan. You're tuned in to Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. And you've come in now into our second segment of Book Choice, Publisher's Choice. And this is the show every month where we have three publishers and South Africa's favorite bookseller join us in the studio to tell us what their big hits are. So for this second segment, we're going to be joined by our first publisher for today's show, and that is Viz Chetty. And Viz is the sales manager at Penguin Random House. Again, all of these people have enormous jobs, and over and above their jobs, they read for business and for pleasure, I guess. So Viz is here to tell us about what's on the shelves from Penguin Random House, internationally and locally, for this August. Welcome to the show, Viz. Let's hear all about your latest fiction, your non-fiction, and maybe you've got some children's books to tell us about.
Hi there, Paige, and to all the FMR listeners. This is Viz Chetty from PRHSA, back this month for all the August highlights. Well, a few of them. We've got so many books coming out, but these are some that I've personally handpicked, read and handpicked, and I loved, and I think that you guys are going to love them too. Just got five titles today, and I hope you enjoy them all. So without further ado, let me get into it. The first one I want to flag for you in August is the brand new book by Elif Shafak. She is the author of 40 Rules of Love, The Bastard of Istanbul, The Island of Missing Trees. She's written so many great novels so far, and we think that this one is one of her best ones to date. I know we say that with every new book that she publishes, but she's just that good of an author where she just seems to be getting better and better. And I think this book is going to get a lot of attention when it eventually releases in this month. So if you get a chance, if you haven't read her before, you can pick her up anywhere. And I promise you, you're going to want to read her backlist as well. But this book, There Are Rivers in the Sky by Elif Shafak, is a brilliant book. It's historical fiction. What it does, it connects three characters who live along two famous rivers, which is the Thames and the Tigris, and they are all connected by a single drop of water. It's such a wonderful premise for the book, and I think that only Elif Shafak can do this really well. So the three characters, one born in 1840, London, Arthur. He's born alongside the Thames. He has an abusive alcoholic father and a mentally ill mother, and Arthur's only chance of escaping destitution is his brilliant memory. He gets a job as a leading publisher, and his world opens up from then on as he learns about the city of Nineveh and its remains. And then in 2014, Turkey, Nareen is a 10-year-old Yazidi girl. She's diagnosed with a rare disorder that will soon cause her to go deaf. But before that happens, her grandmother is determined to baptize her in a sacred Iraqi temple. But the rising presence of ISIS and the destruction of the family's ancestral lands along the Tigris, Nareen is running out of time. And then in 2018, London, a newly divorced woman by the name of Zalika is a hydrologist. She moves into a houseboat on the Thames to escape her husband. She's orphaned and raised by her wealthy uncle. Zalika has made the decision to take her own life in 1 month until a curious book about her homeland changes everything. So this is a wonderfully ambitious novel, but she achieves whatever she set out to do, I think, in this book. She's a master of historical and literary fiction. I think she's one of those people that's really good at doing concept stories like this and using really original ideas to weave this narrative of historical fiction together. And I think you're going to love this one. We're all really excited about this book at Penguin. Right. The next one is a book called Eddie Winston is Looking for Love by Marianne Cronin. You would remember that name. She did a book a while ago called The 100 Years of Lenny and Margot. It was a debut novel, but it got so much love in-house and outside. And we thought this is so exciting to have her back on the list. So it's about a man who's Eddie Winston. He's 90 years old. He's done everything. He's lived, he's loved, but he's never been kissed. He was heartbroken very early on in his life and never seemed to find love after that. So now he works at a charity shop as a volunteer. And he somehow comes across, or he meets a young woman by the name of Bella, who's sort of troubled. She's 24 years old, and she's also just lost the love of her life. She learns about Eddie, and she learns about the fact that he's never been kissed, and she resolves to help him find love, and this sort of sets them on an adventure together where they sort of help each other in this whole thing. It's a great story. It's about friendship. It's about kindness. It's a lighthearted read. It's fun. And I think if you're in the mood for something simple but with a lot of substance, I think this is the one for you. So it's called Eddie Winston is Looking for Love, and that's out now. And then the next one is a thriller by Shari LaPina. She's also become one of those authors that are really, really, does really, really well with crime thrillers. She has done a book called The Couple Next Door, which was very well loved within that genre and that community. It's set in Vermont in a little town called Fair Hill. And what happens is a very popular student is found murdered in the early hours of the morning. And this sets off a chain of events and basically upends this little town as they try and figure out what happened to the student named Diana. So it's a really great domestic suspense thriller. It's a fast ride. You'll literally sit down and finish the book in a couple of days. So if you're in the mood for a good crime thriller, Shari Lapina's What Have You Done is out now. Right. Then the next one is a nonfiction book. I didn't give you many nonfiction books this time around, but I've got one really great one by Greg Mills and David Kilcullen. Greg Mills has obviously wrote a few books. Recently, we did a book called Rich State, Poor State. You might have read that. That was a fantastic book. Before that, he did a book called Why is Africa Poor? He is the CEO of the Brenthurst Foundation. And this book, The Art of War and Peace, is all about the climate of war and obviously peace and how it's shaped in modern society. So basically what these powers that are at war, so it covers the Ukraine-Russia conflict. It covers the China-Taiwan conflict. It's really topical as well. And he talks about the state of these wars and what these nations are doing, what they plan on doing, and even what's to come. So it's a really, really fascinating look at the concept of war. Right. And then the last one is a local author. You know, I always throw in as many local authors as possible so we can support them. Jackie Pomotsa's got a new book out in August. It's releasing on the 8th of August. It's called The Tea Merchant. She is the author of the Bear series. So this is a story about a man named Cameron Cole who owns whose family basically owns a rooibos farm in the Cedarburg. And he's on the brink of losing the farm. He's just lost his wife, and his path crosses with a woman and a nurse by the name of Luna Parks, and together they sort of uncover the mystery of who wanted his wife dead, and can he keep this farm within the family. There's a whole bunch of characters. They all have secrets. They all have different takes on what Cameron Cole's life should be, but it's all about him maintaining what he has and trying to protect that. It's a wonderful novel. It's called The Tea Merchant, Jackie Pomotsa's new novel, and that comes on the 8th of August. That's it for me for this month. As we go towards the end of the year, as I said on my segment last month, we've got some really, really great books on the way. Can't wait to tell you about them. And I'll be back next month for the September lineup.
Thank you so much, Viz, and the Penguin Random House team for your, as always, fantastic selection of books. Viz, I love hearing about the books that you've read and what you've enjoyed about them. You really bring a personal element to your reviews. I really enjoy that and appreciate that. Listener, if you need any more information on any of the titles that Viz mentioned, they can come quite quickly, and maybe you're driving, or maybe you remember the author but you don't remember the title, or as they say, you remember that the cover is blue. If you want to be reminded of whatever books Viz mentioned, you can visit penguinrandomhouse.co.za. Or you can follow Penguin Random House on social media. And we also load this show as a podcast on the FMR website after the show, so you can listen back at your leisure or stream it from the FMR app. Right, how about some more music? Take it away, Mzu. That was The Lion Sleeps Tonight by Trevor Nasser, and you're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio with your host, Paige Nick. Speaking about the lion sleeping tonight, the lion's going to be the only one sleeping tonight because we've got piles and piles and piles of books for you that'll keep you turning the pages till way past your bedtime. So let's go on to our very next segment. The next publisher to join us on the show is Pan Macmillan. Now, these guys publish everything, big name international authors to big name local authors and everything in between. In fact, they're my publisher too. So I'm excited to have them on the show and I'm excited to hear what they have to recommend. A big FMR welcome to the Pan Macmillan team, which is headed up by Shakti Pillay.
Hi everyone, Shakti here, back from Pan Macmillan South Africa. As August ushers us closer to the last quarter stretch of the year, it also signifies Women's Month and commemorates the 20,000 women who marched to the Union Buildings on the 9th of August in 1956. Women's Month offers us space to celebrate the strong women in our lives who have acted as our North Star and carved the way for us and future generations. What better way to enrich our minds and share the joy and richness of our past, present, and future than with a sterling lineup of August reads? At the heart of Pan Macmillan's local releases this August, there are themes and narratives woven around matriarchs, family, survival, love, conservation, and mystery in the form of a compelling memoir titled The Syndicate of 22 Natives by Lindiwe Sangweni Sido, A Testament to the Human Condition in Patient 12A by Lesedi Molefi, A Wildlife Warrior in The Protector by Tony Park, and The Duality of Reality in The Equality of Shadows by Charles-Pierre Nordier. To kick off this fantastic roster and champion a woman who embodies legacy, here is Lindiwe Sangweni Sido in her own words as she introduces us to what we can expect to find within the pages of The Syndicate of 22 Natives.
So Lindiwe Sangweni Sido is the daughter of Stanislas Sangweni, Stan Sangweni, whom this book is about. I am the author of The Syndicate of 22 Natives, the story of Stan Sangweni. I am a full-time hotelier. I work as a hotelier for City Lodge Hotels, but have for the past 2 years been writing and working on this project, writing this book, The Syndicate of 22 Natives. So the story is called The Syndicate of 22 Natives, and the setting is in KwaZulu-Natal. It's in the early 1900s, where my great-grandfather, the grandfather of my father, Stan Sangweni, bought land from a farmer who had syndicated the land, and a group of 22 men came together and created a syndicate, and they called it the Syndicate of 22 Natives. The things I discovered about my father, Stan Sangweni, during the writing of this book were many. But I think the most profound for me was his vulnerability. As I painted the character of Stan Sangweni, I realized that this man, who was a very strong personality in the eyes of his daughter, his children, his wife, had a lot of vulnerable moments. And I think that was quite a discovery for me. I think it's important to document one's history and to be in touch with one's heritage, especially for our offspring, especially for the generations to come. As my father told us stories when we were young and even into our later years, in our age as I am now, he was able to pass on history. And we pass on stories to the young ones who may not be so interested in the beginning, but later on, there will be a book that they can reach to and be able to know who their grandfather was. It's also a story for South Africans. It's a story for anyone, really, across the world. It's a very relatable book, and you're able to really allow people to see themselves and to reach into history and see what the journey was that others walked before them. Love and sacrifice, for me, in the story of my father, there were many, many moments of love and sacrifice. especially that of his mother, and how much she wanted to create a home for her child. He's a child in the story born out of wedlock, and she finds love, and the man who she marries, Stephen Sangweni, loves my father, Stan Sangweni. It was a great story. And also just the many sacrifices that we read about in the book, or you'll read about, of different characters, family members who loved him dearly and wanted to make sure that he had every opportunity, especially that of education. And often there were many sacrifices made in order for that to happen.
Charles Pierre Nordier is a revered South African poet and novelist, as well as a published philosopher. He has featured on the literary festival and residency circuits in Europe, and his poetry has appeared in translation in literary magazines and anthologies across the world. The Equality of Shadows is Charles Pierre's first English novel. When an unusual building appeared overnight in a remote Northern Cape community in the 1970s and disappeared a few weeks later, it seemed to point to a series of baffling existential overlaps. When a small-town journalist reported on the events, his quiet life became cruelly disrupted by unwanted attention. Were these accounts imagined or real? Real enough to the eyewitnesses. Traumatized and adrift, the journalist later wrote up his story in reportage style when a childhood friend invited him to recuperate on her farm. He believed he had narrowly escaped the disappearance of an entire region, a place nobody has ever heard of, and its people, including the love of his life. The Equality of Shadows walks the tightrope between fiction and nonfiction and urges the reader to engage in a profoundly brilliant story. In some places, uproariously funny, in others filled with deep pathos about the vagaries of identity, love, and time, each turn of a page unfolds an audacious mystery tugging on the veils of reality. Did you know that Tony Park has written 20 books in 23 years? I know. The man is a legend. In Tony's latest thrilling read, he takes us into the world of pangolins, also known as the most trafficked mammal that you have never heard of. One of the reasons pangolins have not attracted the same publicity as other endangered species, such as rhinos and elephants, is that they are small, secretive, and rarely seen by visitors to Africa on safari, says Tony. Nonetheless, they are ruthlessly hunted and killed for their scales. Although made of keratin, the same thing as human fingernails, there's a belief that they cure various ills and improve lactation for new mothers. A species is being wiped out on the basis of superstition. Tony's newest book, The Protector, sheds more on this horrifying reality, told with his signature edge-of-the-seat storytelling. Lastly, Pan Macmillan is honored to release and support Lesedi Molefe's absorbing memoir, titled Patient 12A, which has been in the works for over 8 years. Reflecting on his time spent in a psychiatric clinic in 2016, and with vulnerability and candor, Lesedi reflects on the moments large and small that led him there. It is at once a personal history, an observation of how childhood experiences can have a profound effect on the adults we become, and a commentary on how mental illness remains a difficult conversation in Black families. More than anything, in Patient 12A, Lesedi allows himself to filter out the noise in his head to find the truth, however uncomfortable that may be. This is not a self-help book. I can only offer a tender reminder to be gentle with yourself or anybody else you might know who is working through unimaginable answers to difficult questions, says Lesedi. There's so much more to discuss and to read with an ever-growing to-be-read pile, so keep a firm eye on the Pan Macmillan social media pages for more updates about events, new releases, and what's trending. Until next time, stay warm and happy reading from the Pan Macmillan team.
Thank you so much, Shakti, and the Pan Macmillan team. That was fantastic. To find out more about all of Pan Macmillan's titles, you can visit panmacmillan.com or you can follow them online on all their social media. I always tell you this, but sorry if I'm repeating myself every show, but these publishers really do a fantastic job on social media. So if you're interested in what books are coming out, if you want to be the first to hear what big titles are coming out, look out for them on Facebook or X or Instagram or even TikTok, which has become a huge book-selling phenomenon. And not only do they tell you what books they've got coming out, they give away piles of books. So I know books are expensive and we're all tightening our belts right now. If you want free books, the best thing you can do is to follow all these publishers on social media and enter the competitions. You've got a pretty good chance of winning something. So we're ready for another track. This one is Take Five, and it's by Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your book-loving host, Paige Nick. And we just heard a track, and that was Take 5, and it's by Christopher. So now we go into the final segment of our show. We're going to wrap up today with a big segment from one of South Africa's most loved publishing houses. Jonathan Ball Publishers have been publishing great fiction and also, more importantly, the most excellent nonfiction since 1976. In fact, they focus very much on South African nonfiction. So if there's a fantastic nonfiction South African title on your shelf, one of your favorite books maybe, take a closer look. If it's nonfiction, there's a very good chance that it was published by Jonathan Ball Publishers. Welcome back to the show, to the Jonathan Ball publicity team. What have you got lined up to launch for us and for us to add to our to-read piles for this freezing cold August?
So Louisa has written four beautiful novels, The Lodger, The Dragon Lady, Mad Woman, and soon to be available, The Paris Muse, which is due in August in South Africa this year. And excitingly, Louisa will also be visiting South Africa in Johannesburg and Cape Town during September. And I will specify those dates after this interview. My name is Kellyanne Sara, and joining me today is our very special guest and renowned author, Louisa Traeger. Her novels center around poignant female protagonists that are strong and that history has often overlooked, like Dorothy Richardson, Lady Virginia Courtauld, Nellie Bly, and Dora Maar. Each play vital roles in history, and that seems to overshadow them in some way, but not in Louisa's books. Louisa, it's an absolute pleasure to have you with us today. I'm going to pick your brain about your insights into women who are forgotten throughout history, what it's like creating real female characters, and your experience as writing as a woman, and what inspires you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be chatting to you. You know, I stumbled into it by accident. But the more I do it, the more I think it's really important, because history was really written by men. And there are so many women who have achieved a lot. You know, they've changed the world. I just think that people should know about them. Another thing about history is that it's not a series of dry facts that happened a long time ago. It's a narrative that we live and we keep reliving. So the more I write, the more I feel that the issues my protagonists face are relevant to women today.
Absolutely. And I think the one thing I love so much about your characters, your female characters specifically, is that you give them this sort of strength and vulnerability that are just so, so important in women as well as in writing. Is there any way that you find the balance between this vulnerability, the strength, and this moment that makes them bigger than their period?
Well, you know, it does happen consciously. I write very instinctively, and I research by really immersing myself in these characters, you know, by reading everything they've written, everything that's been written about them, if possible going to the places they lived. And I think that balance just comes to me from their personalities, because they really embody all of those things. And I think that's a woman's strength, really, isn't it? That men don't necessarily have, or they don't necessarily show that vulnerability. I mean, you know, we've always lived in a patriarchy, and I think we still live in a patriarchy in many ways. So I think that's a uniquely female balance, and it's just really important.
Absolutely. It's very important for women to read about women, regardless of time and background.
Exactly. To read about their struggles, I think, as well as their achievements. You know, I hope my readers will see some of themselves in, you know, the women I write about. I hope there'll be things that they can relate to about their own lives in them.
Oh, absolutely. For me, it was Nellie Bly. And not because I feel like I'm in a mental institution every day, but
I feel like that sometimes.
I found her just incredibly engaging. Do you also find that you include contemporary issues for your female characters in your novels, even though they are based in a very different period in which we are now?
Of course I do, but I don't insert them deliberately. You know, they come out naturally because although in some ways things have changed a lot for women, in others they haven't changed at all. So some of the issues that my books raise are still very contemporary. I mean, for example, with Mad Woman, one of the things I found very shocking in my research was that a lot of the women who are committed to this mental institution weren't mentally ill, but they refused to conform to the narrow standards of society. You know, maybe they didn't want to get married, or they had too many lovers, or they got postpartum depression, or, you know, maybe their husband simply got tired of them. And it seems to me that although, you know, men can't run around putting us, you know, in institutions in the same way, that society still has no place for women who don't conform, who are perceived to be difficult.
Absolutely. It's kind of that whole woman in the attic moment of we'll just hide her up if we don't want to deal with her.
Exactly.
And talking about those topics of women in today, which of your characters resonates mostly with you?
I think it has to be Dora Maar.
Mm.
I think it's partly because it was a toxic love story. It related to something I've been through, and writing it out helped me understand it. But it was also about, you know, being a woman and holding on to your identity and your creativity when you're involved with a much more powerful man. I think I hope there are lots of women who can relate to that.
I'm sure in one form or another. So now I'm going to divert the interview more into your writing. Well, maybe not your writing, but just female author writing. So women's writing, you know, in the past hasn't really been taken seriously, and usually gets cast as sort of the book club fiction or the chick lit, which is the label it gets. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, I think it's still the case, and I wish it would change. I believe that women get lower advances, mm-hmm. and quite often they get chick litty covers, even when their books are serious. I mean, it's not as bad as it was. You know, at first women had to, you know, write under male pseudonyms to even be noticed. And it's nothing like that. And there are, you know, female writers who've been taken extremely seriously. But I think that the playing field is not quite level yet. And I wish it was.
It's definitely getting better, but it's not where it really should be, where there's this even tone.
Exactly.
When it comes to taking female authors seriously and what they create. So chick lit has a very special place in my heart, purely because I believe that it is a lot stronger than the word, or that it is deemed, gives that connotation.
Yeah.
But
yes.
How would you define chick lit?
I love some chick lit. It can be very clever and, you know, tell wonderful stories and hit the nail on the head emotionally. I mean, in a way, it's like a prerogative, you know, a kind of critical label. There are critical connotations because it sort of implies not being taken seriously, really, not deserving to be taken seriously. And I think that's not the case. And, you know, when I'm talking about the covers, I'm talking about, you know, quite light-hearted covers that maybe don't even do the books justice. Mm.
It becomes more of a marketing term more than
exactly a label. Yeah, it's a marketing label.
Louisa, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
So lovely to chat to you, and you're an amazing interviewer.
Oh, thank you very much, Kelly.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you in South Africa in September. You'll be in Johannesburg from the 10th to the 13th of September, and in Cape Town from the 16th to the 18th. And to FMR listeners out there, please be sure to grab a copy of The Paris Muse and Louisa's other novels that are all available at any good bookstore near you. And we wish you a very happy and relaxing Women's Day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you so much to the Jonathan Ball Publishing team. That was fascinating. There were actually two titles there that I'm really interested in. I will report back once I've had a read. If you want to keep up with Jonathan Ball's latest book news or their event updates or new releases, just like with all the other publishers, you can visit them on Jonathan Ball on the internet. You can also follow them on Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok. And something else Jonathan Ball do is you can tune into their podcast. It's called PageCast. I always mention it here because I think it's excellent listening. It's their in-house podcast. They bring you the story behind the story. Often they'll interview They'll pick a book that's coming out in this month and they'll interview the author and do a really in-depth behind-the-scenes look at what went into the book. It's really lovely listening. And so that takes us to the end of our show. If you've missed, as I mentioned, any of the books our publishers have been sharing with us or the exclusive books shared with us, the podcast of today's show will be available to listen to at your leisure on our website, fmr.co.za, very shortly. So from me, your host, Paige Nick, my big thanks to Mzu Makeda for building today's show and curating and selecting all our music, which is all local and liquor, as well as my thanks to Batya Bricker from Exclusive Books and all the publishers who've joined us today who've taken time out from their busy schedules, from Penguin Random House, from Pan Macmillan, and from Jonathan Ball Publishers. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your books. Thank you for your wonderful publishing endeavors. They mean so much to us. We'll be back with our regular book choice show, which is packed with reviews and interviews in 2 weeks' time. And until then, happy reading. We're going to be playing out with one last track, and this is Told You So by Vota Kellerman.
Thank you.